Now I invite you to pray with me and to pray for me. Lord God, take my words this morning and speak through them. Take our hearts this morning and speak to them. Holy Spirit, we welcome your presence, and we invite you to bring conviction to our hearts through your living word, that you will initiate healing and transformation in our lives. We pray this all for the glory of your great name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, this is my final Sunday sermon in this sanctuary. And as I reflected on all of my sermons here, I realized there was something that I never told you about myself. Some of you are aware of this. Did you know that your rector was previously a roadie? Yes, I was a roadie for rock concerts when I was in college. Why is he telling us this? Okay. As I've been reflecting on the Exodus, the Lord reminded me of that part of my past. This was in the late 80s at William & Mary, and I was on the student crew at William & Mary Hall. I made what equated to be maybe $2 an hour. I got $100, but we started at 8 o'clock in the morning and we ended at about 3 o'clock in the morning, so it wasn't all that much. But I got to do many concerts as a roadie. REM, Sting, Chicago, Natalie Merchant, and other artists. One thing that I remember about that time, though, was the morning of the concerts, when we would arrive, we would immediately go out and count the trucks. Some concerts just came with one truck, and we celebrated, a truck meaning a semi. Other concerts that had more complicated things to set up had 2, 3, 4, 5 semis. And I remembered counting the trucks, and that was the image that I had as I considered the Exodus, as I consider our Exodus as we're preparing to move. I thought about Israel. There they were, taking everything that they owned, their tents, all that they had, but also taking with them the tabernacle. All of that packed up onto carts upon carts upon carts, that when the cloud stopped, they would unload and they would set it all up. And then when the cloud started to move again, they would tear it down and begin following the Lord again. This is our final Sunday here in this place. After Ash Wednesday, we're going to pack up and move. You've probably heard the pews are going to be packed up and they're going to move to All Souls Anglican Church in Mandarin, where they will have a new home. But all of our stuff, we're going to move as we follow the Lord, as we follow him and his cloud to our new space, our shared location with Beth Israel. The Exodus journey was a picture that God gave me. If you go back, I think it's a little over 2 years when we started this future vision process. God gave me the sense that the cloud was moving and we didn't know where it was going. But there was a sense of peace that we were following him as we were preparing to leave this space, and we didn't know what God's provision was going to be for us, and we didn't know where it was going to be. God gave me a peace that he was going before us as he had gone before his people. We've been studying Exodus on Sunday mornings in adult discipleship, and it's appeared a couple Sundays just in the midst of our lectionary, and it did so this morning as we read Exodus 24. But I'm going to invite you to open your pew Bibles. I don't need to say it, but I will. This is your last chance on a Sunday morning to open the pew Bibles. And we're going to turn back a little bit further from Exodus 24. Turn to page 56. We're going to begin with the end of Exodus chapter 13. So at the top of page 56, right there, the end of Exodus chapter 13, what's just happened is that the people of Israel have been led out of Egypt by God. They've been released. Pharaoh has released them. And we read verse 20. And they moved on from Succoth and encamped at Etham on the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light that they might travel by day and by night. The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night did not depart from before the people. This is God's presence. God is there. Verse 21, the Lord went before them in the pillar of cloud. This is the Lord guiding his people. Now turn ahead to Exodus 19. We're on page 60. Exodus 19, Israel arrives at Mount Sinai, and God gives them a promise of a covenant with them. And if you look at ahead onto page 61, close to the top, verse 16 of chapter 19. On the morning of the third day, there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain, and a very loud trumpet blast, so that all the people in the camp trembled. That ought to strike you. They would have been trembling anyway with the thunders and the lightnings. But where was the trumpet coming from? Right? It didn't say something that sounded like a trumpet. Verse 17, then Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God. God's presence had descended in that cloud, and they took their stand at the foot of the mountain. Verse 18. Now Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord had descended on it in fire. The smoke of it went up like the smoke of a kiln, and the whole mountain trembled greatly. And as the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke. You wonder what Moses said there as this trumpet's getting louder, as the earth is shaking, as this cloud's descended, as there's fire. Moses spoke and God answered him in thunder. The Lord came down on Mount Sinai on the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses up. Thunder, lightning, a cloud. God answers Moses. So again, God's presence is in the cloud. Exodus chapter 20. God meets with Moses, and God gives him the beginning of his instruction for his people. And let's just flip through there. We see he gives him the 10 words, the 10 commandments, the laws about altars, laws about slaves, laws about restitution. This is about living together and about worship. Laws about social justice on page 63. Turning to page 64, laws about the Sabbath and about festivals. Again, worship. Celebrating together as God's people. Then there at the top of the second column on page 64, the conquest of Canaan is promised. God promises them land. And then in chapter 24, which is where our reading came from this morning, the covenant is confirmed. God confirms his covenant. He cements it with them, with Moses and with Israel. We read in chapter 24, verses 3 and 4, Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the rules that God had spoken to upon the mountain. So Moses has come down. And all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words that the Lord has spoken we will do. And Moses wrote down all the words of the Lord. He rose early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain and 12 pillars according to the tribes of Israel. So do you recognize here, God confirms his covenant with them. Moses writes down all that God has told him so far. Moses reads the book of the covenant. This is their first worship with God's word, with God's words of instruction. Verse 12, God invites Moses back up to receive the tablets. Verse 12, it says, that I may give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandment which I have written. These are going to be tablets written by God. I was curious. Did he write really small? What was his handwriting like? Was it like a doctor? God would write it. He says, come up and I will give you these tablets. Then verses 15 to 18. Then Moses went up on the mountain and the cloud covered the mountain. Again, God's presence in the cloud. The glory of the Lord dwelt on Mount Sinai. And the cloud covered it 6 days. The seventh day he called to Moses out of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord in this cloud was like a devouring fire. And Moses entered the cloud and was there for 40 days. And while he's up there, chapters 25 through 32, God gives Moses instructions. He begins with contributions. This is how you're going to pay for everything. God begins with stewardship. Then he goes through the building of the ark, the building of the tabernacle, preparations for worship, preparations for building the tabernacle where God would dwell with his people. Turn to chapter 31. So we're going to be on page 72, the second half of Exodus 31. After all of this instruction about worship, about building his house, the final teaching that God gives Moses is about the Sabbath. The Lord said to Moses, you are to speak to all the people of Israel and say, above all, you shall keep my Sabbath. For this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I, the Lord, sanctify you. Verse 15, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh is a Sabbath of solemn rest, holy to the Lord. Verse 16, therefore the people of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, observing the Sabbath throughout their generations as a covenant forever. So above all, this is really important. And it's a sign of God's covenant with them. Not what they were building in the tabernacle, not what was going to be constructed where God's presence would be. The sign of the covenant was the Sabbath. God reminds them, in the midst of great upheaval and uncertainty, they were no longer where they were. They were following a cloud, a pillar of cloud or a pillar of fire, uncertainty and upheaval. God reminds them, you are my people, and thus you're required to rest with him as he rested, and that is the sign of our covenant. In this move, as we're going to a new place, you and I, we have the chance to establish new patterns of Sabbath, new patterns of rest, solemn rest, holy to the Lord. Everything is reset. Y'all are going to sit in different places. That's no longer your pew and your pew and your pew, and you'll be okay. There's going to be a different worship sanctuary, different fellowship area, different places to have coffee with your friends. Everything's reset. You have the opportunity to reestablish not just what you do on Sunday, but your Sabbath preparation. Because if you don't prepare next Saturday night, you're going to drive here. You need to prepare ahead of time. Sabbath rest demanded preparation. They were told, commanded, not to have a fire, to stoke a fire on the Sabbath. They had to build it ahead of time. They had to prepare their food ahead of time. They had to do everything ahead of time. You have the opportunity to reset. To reset how you Sabbath. In addition, in this new season, as we study the Exodus in the tabernacle, we're reminded where God's presence is. Through the Exodus, God's presence was in the tabernacle. That was where the cloud filled the tabernacle at the end of Exodus chapter 40. It filled and he was there, and then he was forever in the tabernacle or leading them out. In the tabernacle or leading them out. He was forever with them. Until he wasn't in the tabernacle. Then he was in the temple. And then he wasn't in the temple. And that's where we come to the theme for this morning, which is Transfiguration Sunday. God's presence, God's tabernacle is now in our hearts. We read Matthew 17, verses 1 through 8, Jesus' transfiguration. God's presence, again, comes as a cloud. Well, what happens first? Jesus goes up, Peter, James, and John, and what happens? He begins to glow. What do we know about Moses? When Moses was in God's presence, he glowed. He had to wear a veil over him. Now, it's not coincidence that we're studying a book called The Echoes of Exodus. These are the echoes that we see as we look backwards and forwards in Scripture. One of the echoes of the Exodus is that as Moses glowed when he was in God's presence, Jesus glows because he is the living God. And then what happens? As he's there with Moses and Elijah, with Moses and Elijah, Peter reminds everybody of the tabernacle. Peter says, "It's good for us to be here." Everybody makes fun of Peter because he was going to make three tents. I know what I'll do. I'll make a tent, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. The word tent, guess what that word is? Tabernacle. There's the echo. Peter said, "I'll build tabernacles for you where you can live and stay." It's a reminder of that tabernacle, and it's a reminder of God's new provision of his presence. The Apostle John wrote, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt." That word dwelt is tabernacled. It's the verb. Tabernacled among us, and we have seen his glory. God was no longer going to dwell in the tabernacle. He now tabernacled with his people. This new tabernacle is our hearts as Jesus is with us and as his Holy Spirit fills us. So in this season, you're invited to reestablish your own pattern and discipline for Sabbath rest. A day of solemn rest, holy to the Lord. Church was not intended to be an activity of worship to squeeze in between all the other things you have to do on Sunday. How easy it is for our worship to become, "Well, I don't quite have time. I've got to leave early, and there's a reason that God wanted that to be not just a provision of rest for his people, but a time of community. Of community rest and worship and feasting. And a time of connection with their God. I had to go get a key yesterday from Beth Israel. It was right at the end of their worship. 20 people. No joke, 20 different people invited me to go to lunch with them because that's their pattern of worship. They worship, then they go to their lunch after. They all go. We have a chance to establish new patterns where we can linger in worship, perhaps come early and linger, or stay after and linger because we don't have to rush somewhere else. It's going to take discipline. You're invited to begin anew to prepare your heart for the Sabbath day, the day before or the evening before, as you prepare for the rest that God offers, the Sabbath rest that God offers to his people. It's also a season to reestablish and begin new patterns of worship as we will worship in a new place. We're going to discover these things together, not individually, but corporately as a community. There's a third thing. It's an opportunity for us to look back. In Jewish worship, there was the refrain, "Remember, remember, remember." This is an opportunity to look back and recall God's faithfulness to this part of his body, a church of the Redeemer. over the past 12 years and a couple months. Y'all have memories here. I have many memories, some of events, but as I've reflected on those, I realized that more importantly, I have memories of fruit. Fruit that I've seen and witnessed. As the leader, I've been privy to a whole lot of fruit. I was reminded during Darlene's wedding, that was the final wedding in this space for Church of the Redeemer. During Darlene's wedding, we read from John 15, and I was reminded of the vine and the branches. Because in Christ, you are all branches. I'm a branch. And branches are dead unless they're connected to the vine. That's right. Who's the vine? Jesus. Jesus commanded his disciples, abide in me. Stay connected to Jesus, because only as you abide in him will you bear fruit. Only as we stay connected will we bear fruit. So I've reflected on the fruit that I've seen. I've seen healing in some of your lives. I've seen release from bondage and freedom. I've seen restoration of relationships and of lives. I've seen members step forward into leadership and the mistakes that they made and the growth that they experienced and the joy as they learned and as they grew. You've all seen me do the same thing. Lead, make mistakes, learn, and continue to follow. I've seen ministries launched from Redeemer in the last 12 years. I've seen young adults launched, whether to college or whether to their adulting lives, whatever. I've experienced birth with many of you. I've experienced new life by faith in Jesus Christ with some of you as you've been here. I've experienced death with hope. Death where death has lost its sting. Death that leads to eternal life with many of you. And we've all experienced that together as we've watched some of our own saints go and be with the Lord. On Thursday, Wayne Jones went home to be with Jesus. You may have seen that email. Wayne's death was not a tragedy. It was a celebration, I know, for him, because he talked about it. As he proclaimed Jesus, he proclaimed his hope for his resurrection. What fruit do you see in your lives? Not as a result of this building, but as a result of being a part of this community, this faith community. What fruit do you see in your lives and in other lives? I hope you'll take time to reflect on that. The view from here is amazing. We have a future together in this new season at Beth Israel. God has led us there, and he is with us. It's a season of new beginning, of new patterns, of new opportunities to join and to serve and to fellowship and to grow. New expectations, new fruit yet to be seen. God's work in us and through us is not finished. We can look forward with expectation as we remain connected to the vine, as we work together, because he will bring forth fruit. He will prune. In that passage, the Heavenly Father is the vine dresser. He will prune us. There will be things that will be pruned from us as a body as we move, and there will be room for more fruit. I'm blessed to be your leader. And I'm excited for this Exodus journey with y'all as we're following the cloud. 6 months ago, we didn't know where the cloud was going. Now we know. And we don't know how long it's going to stay. We know at least as long as we've signed an agreement, but God's in charge of this, not the attorneys. I'm so thankful for the Lord's provision for our new space and his promise that he goes before us like the Exodus cloud. His presence is with us and his tabernacle is in us. When I was first hired, we ended every service with a portion of the Anglican liturgy from our brothers and sisters in Kenya. Today, I want to end my sermon with portions of that Kenyan liturgy. I invite you to stand. This is a portion from the Eucharist and then a portion from the end of the Kenyan service. I ask the question, y'all answer. Is the Father with us?
Yes.
Is Christ among us?
Yes.
Is the Spirit here?
Yes.
This is our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are his people. All our problems we send to the cross of Christ. All our difficulties we send to the cross of Christ. All the devil's works we send to the cross of Christ. And all our hopes we set on the risen Christ. Amen. Amen.